Open your Bible, if you will, to the same passage of Scripture we read from in the earlier part of the service, Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31. While you're turning to that, I will mention that some of you know, but all of us need to know, dear Mary Metzinger is home with the Lord. And she passed away yesterday morning about 6 o'clock. Very, very quickly, once she was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and had planned to move back to Virginia where children were, and then just very quickly, it took her on home. And so be much in prayer for that family, for that situation. As we hear plans for the service, we will let you know as best we can through email and whatever. We will do that. And I hope you'll pray much for the family. I'm going to read verses 1 through 9, a passage that from this chapter is not generally read on this day. And I want to say some things I hope that will be a blessing to mothers, but a blessing to children. And if somehow children can get the message, I believe mothers will be blessed. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son? And what, the son of my womb? And what, the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink to him that's ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and the needy. Proverbs opens with instructions of a father and a call for heeding the law of the mother. But it concludes with the instructions of a mother that his mother taught him. I want you to allow me, if you will, to introduce this mother. This is a woman named Bathsheba. Bathsheba, you know the name well. If you're familiar at all with the book, you know her well. You do not know her, perhaps, as the granddaughter of Ahithophel. Ahithophel was a counselor to King David. He was a counselor to King David who turned against David and who followed Absalom. There could be surmised many reasons for that, and the very experience of Bathsheba could have been one of those reasons that he turned against David. She perhaps knew the palace of the king as a child, as the granddaughter of a counselor of King David. Do not know, but she could have. She married outside the covenant people. She married outside her nation. She married outside those that God said she was to marry. She was the wife of Uriah. Uriah the Hittite. So she did not marry within the Jewish covenant people. She married outside the Jewish covenant people. She is the third wife of David. She committed immorality with David. Her first husband died in battle. Her first baby died in infancy. Now let me introduce to you, or identify, Lemuel. It's probably Solomon. Without a doubt, it's Solomon. It may have been a name that she called him, because Solomon had three names, if indeed Lemuel is the same as Solomon, and it would be appropriate in this closing passage of Proverbs that Solomon would refer to himself in relationship particularly to his mother by perhaps the name that she called him. And some of us, our mothers had names for us that they called us that we did not want anybody to hear them call us. They were kind of pet names that mother may have had for you. And you did not want your buddies or your friends or others to hear that name. It may have been, Lemuel may have been a name that she called him. It means devoted to God. Devoted to God. Now, the other name that was given to him was the name God gave him through the prophet Nathan. Whenever Nathan came to David after the birth of this child, Nathan said the Lord's name for him will be Jedidiah. Jedidiah. Jedidiah means beloved of Jehovah. Beloved of Jehovah. But he is known by the name his father called him. He is known by the name Solomon. Now I want you to see what this mother, I call her an ideal mother, understanding that she's not a perfect mama. I call her an ideal mother. I want you to see the insight she gives her son. And mothers should give insight to their children. She said, "What, my son?" And whenever she says, "What, my son?" she's saying, she's identifying her relationship. She's saying, "I am your mother. I am your mother. That is the relationship I have with you." Now, young people here today, you need to listen to your mama. You need to pay attention to her because she is your mother. She is your mother. Whenever my mom was 99 years old, she was still my mama. And whenever she told me what I needed to do, I took that pretty seriously. I'd like to say I always did it, but maybe not. But here is a relationship. Now, the first thing is the relationship. She is his mother. But I want you to see in the second thing, what the son of my womb? What? The son of my womb. My womb. And what she's really saying is in this word, what? She's saying, listen. Listen to me. I'm your mother. Listen to me. I'm the one who went through the pain to bring you into this world, the son of my womb. Listen to me. I went through the veil of death for you. Listen to me. You need to listen to me because of what I went through for you. And young people here today, you don't have any appreciation for this whatsoever. But your mama went through the jaws of death to give you life and bring you into this world. You need to listen to her. You need to pay attention to her. And Solomon here says, this is what my mother told me. And she got my attention whenever she said, listen. Listen to me. I'm your mother. I'm the one that carried you in my womb. I'm the one that gave you birth. Listen to me. And then she says this. Listen. The son of my vows. The son of my vows. I do not know all that's involved in that. But whenever you were born, your father called you Solomon. Solomon means peaceful. And it certainly set a tone for the life and the leadership of this king. Because he was not a man of war like his father was. He was not a man of battle like David was. He was a peaceful man. And rather than winning victories through battle, he made deals with the nations around him. Mostly, he said to the kings, I'll marry your daughter if you just won't give me trouble. I don't know whether they were having trouble getting their daughters married off or what, but there was a bunch of them. 700, in fact. There wasn't much peace about that unless they let them fight among themselves. I don't understand about that, but your father called you Solomon, peaceful. Peaceful. God called you Jedediah, beloved of Jehovah. But there was something I called you. I called you Lemuel. And Lemuel means devoted to God. And whenever his mother said to him, son of my vows, there had to be something in that that related to his birth. I do not know, and the Bible does not choose to tell us exactly, but it seems that here, even in this, there must have been something. Whenever her baby died, that baby that was conceived in immorality and died at birth, there must have been something in that. When David wept, and David prayed for the healing of the child, that the child would live. But the child did not live. The child died. And David wept. But I want you to know something. It's not given in the Word of God, but it's something that's so natural we know it without God telling us. Mama cried too. Mama cried when that baby died. And it must have been in that time that woman, Bathsheba, must have said, God, if you give me another son, he'll be devoted to you. Because that's what she called him. And she relates it to a vow that she made to God. And whenever Samuel, I won't call Solomon Samuel, but whenever Solomon heard his mother call him Lemuel, it reminded him every time that my mother recognizes me as devoted to God. And it had something to do with a vow she made. She said, listen to me. I'm your mother. Listen to me. I went through the jaws of death to bring you into this life. Listen to me. Listen to me. Because I made a vow to devote you to God. Young people here today, there may be a vow between your mama and you that you know nothing about. It may be when you were resting safely in your mama's womb that your mother said to God, oh God, I pray for this child. You do not know what went on between your mother and her God before you were even born. And whenever she says, listen to me, You better listen. Listen to your mama. Pay attention to what she has to say. You owe that to her. She deserves that from you. Listen to me. What, my son? What, the son of my womb? What, the son of my vows? Listen to me. Listen to me. This is insight. The ideal mother will give her children insight. Then the ideal mother will give instruction to her children. Now, I want you to know, whenever Bathsheba gives instructions to her son here in these next few verses, when she's giving these instructions, before he ever comes to the time of describing the Proverbs 31 woman, before he ever comes to that, she gives instructions and he relates the instructions she gave. First of all, this is her son. She's talking to her son. She gives him instructions about women. Now, young men here today, you may think you know about more about women than your mama does, but you don't. Your mama can see straight through that girl. She knows exactly what's going on. She knows how she thinks. You say, yeah, but my mama's X number of years old. Yes, but she was 18. She was 18. Immorality is from a Greek word and means garbage. Bathsheba knew about this. She and David were testimonies to this problem. And David is the one that is identified with the sin. But Bathsheba was there. And Bathsheba walked that road with David. Together. After David's sin, God visited David. God visited the family. He had a dead baby. There was a defiled daughter. He had a defiant son. There was a devastating loss of Absalom. And in the end, there was a divided kingdom. A divided kingdom. Adonijah was another son of David. And though God had said Solomon will be the king, and we've looked at this last week as we talked about the dangers of Joab. And Adonijah was Joab's choice. And Joab took Adonijah and he was going to put him on the throne before David ever died. And Bathsheba went in to David and said, there's a division in the kingdom and it's because you have not taken a stand. And she went into him and he declared Solomon to be the king and put him on the throne and everything. But all the things that went wrong in the kingdom, in the family, in the life of David because of that sin. You see, there's an interesting passage of Scripture in Deuteronomy 17. Now, this is before the nation ever came in to the promised land. And before the time of Judges, God gave them instructions about the king and about what the king should be and what the king should do. It says, and this is her instructions to him, neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away, neither shall he multiply to himself silver and gold. And it shall be that when he setteth on the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests and Levites, and it shall be with him. And then it goes on. Do you understand what he's saying here? What God is saying, when you come into the land and there is a king that sits on the throne, what that king is to do is he is to take the copy of the Word of God that's before the priests And what he is to do, he is to take personally his writing instrument, and he is to take his paper that they used, and he is to copy his personal copy of the Word of God in his own hand that he has written out. And he's to keep that with him and to read from that. The instructions of the king before, to the king, before Israel ever had a king. Beware of that. She taught him that. She knew that about him. She knew about women. She knew what women would do to him. And she gave him instruction about that. But she also knew about something else. She knew about wine. She knew about wine in a very, very personal way. Because whenever David had called Uriah back from the battle after Bathsheba was found to be with child, conceived from David, he called Uriah back from battle and was going to send him down to be with Bathsheba, his wife, in an intimate relationship, hoping by that to give credit for the child to Uriah rather than to himself. But Uriah was a soldier. He said, "I'll not enjoy the comfort of my bed and the love of my wife while my fellow soldiers stand in danger on the battlefield. I will not do that." So David got him drunk, sent him back down to his house. But even in that state, he would not do it. She knew about that kind of thing. She understood about that. And she said to him, "You're going to be a king. You're the son of the king. You're a prince. It is not for kings to drink wine. That's not for them. And if you're a child of the king, it's not for you. You need to consider that, what Mama says right here. It's for those who are sick and depressed and miserable. It's the only way they have to get through things. I don't know how in the world, other than with drugs and drink and things like that, that people get through the difficulties of life that they have to face and go through what they have to go through." And here the scripture says from this mother, she said, people that don't have any other way to deal with things in their life, that's what they turn to. That's what it serves them for, to help them forget. But she said, "Son, it's not for you. If you're a prince, if you're going to sit on the throne, if you're going to be the king, what that will do to you is it'll do the same thing that it does to other people who are miserable and sorrowful and depressed. It will do the same thing to you. What does it do? It causes you to forget, and you'll forget the law. You'll forget the law. You'll forget the law of the land. You'll forget the law of your mother. You'll forget the law of God. You will do those things that are wrong, that are sinful, because you have let something else take control of your mind." Our government, it seems, is fueled by the devil's brew. And we're suffering because of it. I do not pick on any individual. I'm simply saying this. Whenever the leaders of our country invite others in to talk with them and simply say, "Come on over, let's sit down and have a beer. Come on over, let's sit down and have a drink." And they're not talking about lemonade. "Come on over, What they do is when they give themselves to that, they forget the law and they forget the rule of the people and they forget what their responsibilities are. And they make decisions that are not for the good of the people, that are not for the good of the country. And they give away things that should not be given away. And they claim things that they have no right to claim. She said, "Son, it's not for kings. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment." They make bad judgment calls. Her instructions. She knew about women. She knew about wine. And she knew about words. Look what she says in verse 8. "Open thy mouth for the dumb, in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction." Now here's what she's saying to him. She's saying to him, you need, as the king, you need to speak up for those who have no voice. You need to speak up for them. You have a voice. And you need to speak up for them, those that have no voice for themselves. They do not have the attention of the government leaders. They do not have the attention of those who are wealthy and those who are in charge. But she said, you do. You have a voice. And you should let your voice be heard on their behalf. Those who cannot speak for themselves, you speak up for them. You need to stand up for the desolate. Look what she says in verse 9. "Open thy mouth, judge righteously." Make proper calls. Make proper judgments. She knew about words. She had seen that in the life of David. She had seen that take place. She had seen that in the life of Joab. She had seen that in the life of her granddaddy. There's not time, this is not the time to discuss the advice of Ahithophel. But her granddaddy, with his words, influenced the king and influenced the kingdom. And she knew about that. Listen to your mama. She knows about those things. She knows about women. She knows about wine. She knows about words. Selfishness will keep you from good decisions. Pride will keep you from good decisions. Wine and women will keep you from good decisions. Who am I? I'm a child of the king. My father's rich in houses and lands. He holdeth the wealth of the world in his hands, of rubies and diamonds and silver and gold. His coffers are full. He has riches untold. I'm a child of the king. I'm a child of the king. His royal blood now flows in my veins, and I, though unworthy, still can sing all glory to God. I'm a child of the king, and I ought to behave myself like royalty. I'm not talking about egotism, and I'm not talking about self-promotion and things like that. I'm talking about I ought to behave myself the way she advised Lemuel here. Listen to your mother. Some of you girls and some of you young men, some of you young ladies, you think you're so smart. You don't know nothing. Sorry about that. Got a little carried away. Listen to your mama. A couple of other things. Ideal mother gives her children inspiration from her education, from her experience, from her example. It's here. It's all here. It's all here in the life of Bathsheba. It's all here. Ideal mother, we'll say this last thing about the ideal mother. Sometimes an ideal mother still has children that act irresponsible. She was an ideal mother. Gave ideal advice. Gave good advice. But in 1 Kings chapter 11, verses 1 through 4, it describes Solomon. Now the Queen of Sheba, whenever she came to visit Solomon, she said, "Oh, the half has not been told about the riches of the kingdom of Israel and of all that he has and all the things that are there." And then in 1 Kings chapter 11, it talks about him marrying his wives and his concubines. 700 wives, 300 concubines. My soul. My soul. In a direct violation of the command of God, in a direct violation of the instructions of his mother, in direct violation. I was here at a meeting in the city, and much was being said from this group about how silly the Word of God is and how silly the Bible is. And I interjected a statement about it. And a fella who really obviously knew nothing about the Bible said to me, "You don't know the Bible. If you knew the Bible, you'd know that Abraham had other wives." I said, "Yeah, I know Abraham had other wives. I know he had children by other wives. I know Solomon had 700 wives. But I also know the Bible never says it was right. It simply records what they did. It's not an instruction. In fact, if it's anything, it's a caution that it records what they did. And Solomon allowed those wives." I ought to read it. 1 Kings chapter 11. In the first four verses, you're going to find what happened. "So King Solomon was king over all Israel, and all these were the princes." Second Kings. If I haven't written it down wrong. And I wrote it down wrong. But I'm going to tell you what it says. Okay? What he did was he made these agreements with all these kings and married all these wives. And they did exactly what Deuteronomy 17:17 says they would do. They turned his heart to other gods. And they brought idols and idolatry into the land and turned the people from the God of heaven to worshiping idol gods. You better listen to your mama. Boys and girls, you better listen to your mama. And mama, you better listen to God. Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Now I'm going to do this. And I want you to listen carefully. If you're here as a mother and you're praying for children, in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to come stand across the front here. And if you're a child here today, and your mother comes and stands here, I'm going to implore you to come stand with her. Mothers, if you want to come, come right now. If you're praying for a child, would you come? Would you come right now? And if you're here as a child and your mother is here and she's standing here at the front, find her. Come stand with her. Let her know that you're here with her. I'll wait just a moment. Father, I thank you for the counsel. I thank you for the influence. I thank you for the godly correction and direction that I was able to receive from my mother. Lord, I regret those times that I didn't listen more closely. But I thank you for the times that I did listen. And I thank you for the times she kept saying it when it seemed like I wasn't listening. And Father, for these ladies who stand here, some of them with very heavy hearts, because of children that are not living for you and are not following you and are not serving you and are not faithful to you. Some of them may not be saved. I pray, Lord, and I join my prayer with these ladies that stand here today. And I ask your blessing upon them. And Father, I ask that you let them know, Lord, that you love them and you hear their prayers and you are not unaware of the situation. I pray, Lord, that there'll be some children who will just be absolutely miserable because of the conviction brought upon them by your Holy Spirit in answer to the prayers of their mama. Lord Jesus, I pray for these young people that are standing here today, these children, though they may not be young children, they may be older children. I pray, Father, that somehow they would get wisdom enough to listen to the wise counsel and the years of experience of a mother that knows more than they can ever know and cares more about them than they care about her. Father, I pray that in our nation, you will give our leaders wisdom to follow good, godly counsel and make wise decisions. I pray in all levels of government, but most of all, I pray in our homes and in our church that we will know and follow your perfect will. Oh, Lord, we just bring this to you. And Father, what a group of folks standing here together to say we want your wisdom, Lord, and then kids standing here saying, Lord, help us to follow the wisdom and advice of our mothers. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. If you'd like to go back to your seat, you may.